Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a pleasure to be with you once again, and a pleasure to be joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Dorothy, how are you?
I'm fine, Steve. I'm looking forward to our chat today, the fourth week of talking about forgiveness.
Yes, it is quite the subject, right? Quite complex. And this show is going to be interesting because we've talked about how complex it can be, right? We've talked about this idea that it takes great work to forgive, that it is worth the effort in every regard. But it can help to strengthen our ability to forgive, to just understand what it takes to sort of walk that path. And we hope by the end of this show, you will have some tools and we could offer some insights into making the treading of that path just a bit easier. Dorothy, do you want to start the show off by talking a little bit about our organizations and how Spirit Fire Radio came about?
Sure. I'd be delighted, Steve. So I am with the School for Esoteric Studies. You can find out about us at esotericstudies.net. And the School for Esoteric Studies is focused on providing esoteric discipleship training for persons with a spiritual practice who want to deepen that practice in service to the common good. And we, several years ago, we were thinking about the topic of goodwill and the fact that oftentimes organizations that have a spiritual focus may be great in the initiatives that they are undertaking, but not necessarily work cooperatively or collaboratively with other organizations. And so we decided to consciously look for collaborations. And if any of the listeners are with organizations that would like to collaborate with the School for Esoteric Studies, we have a section on our website at esotericstudies.net called Intergroup Collaboration. And you can see there, how we think about how we approach it and the groups that we're already collaborating with. And one of those groups, which I am absolutely thrilled about, is Spirit Fire, we're both educational nonprofits, and we decided that one of the projects we would like to do together is this radio show. And it's just a delight to work with you, Steve, and I think that this is a collaboration that hopefully contributes to the world.
Indeed, I am certain it does, and it is a delight. So often when you are in the creative process, you get really wrapped up in that process, and educational nonprofits, they are working so hard to adhere to their mission and expand upon their mission and magnetize their mission that it really becomes all about their mission. And what's so beautiful is there are so many educational and spiritual nonprofits that have a similar mission. And by being creative together, by co-creating, it really just allows for even more creativity. There's a really beautiful quality to participating with another organization and co-creating. So I as well enjoy this endeavor of Spirit Fire Radio, and I'm sure it will lead to many other co-creations between Spirit of Fire and School for Esoteric Studies. And Spirit of Fire, just very quickly, is focused on educating people on the importance of spirituality in their everyday lives. And we do that through our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, online classes, and through our retreat center in Western Massachusetts. And listeners, I just also want to mention, Dorothy, you know, you don't tout yourself quite enough. So it's every now and again, I have to get gushy over you. You know, there is a most excellent book called Positive Harmlessness in Practice. It's part of a three-part book that Dorothy has penned. It's a trilogy called Abundance. Say it for me.
Enough for us all.
Enough for us all. But we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about apologies and harm, and you know, really, really, how do we learn to forgive? How do we strengthen our ability to forgive? And it is because harm happens. You know, human beings learn through conflict, and that, what does that mean? Conflict is around. We suffer. We are trespassed upon every now and again. Hopefully, not too much. But, you know, I just want to give a shout out to your book, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, because it really is such a wonderful exploration of harmlessness and what does it mean and how do we put it into practice so we don't need to forgive as much, right, Dorothy?
That's right.
So one big factor is, you know, well, we hear forgive and forget, and that sounds like, I think the forget part comes to the forefront, and we've said many times that forgiveness is not about forgetting, but it's sort of this idea of, oh, forgive and forget means, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to forget about it. And that's because we actually are avoiding this idea. You know, we really just feel like, oh, I've forgiven them, I don't need to think about it anymore. But really, perhaps you're just avoiding forgiveness altogether. And I think that there is, you know, we could talk a bit about this need to make peace with forgiveness itself, and knowing that there is actually at times a need. We need to learn to feel within ourselves and see if that's there, right, Dorothy?
Right, and we need to remember that there's a price if we don't forgive. We know intimately that there's a price to be paid if we don't forgive ourselves, if we do something that we feel is inappropriate. But when somebody else harms us, it can be very easy to just think that it's their problem and be focused outward. But actually, there's a wound that we need to be able to heal, and we need to be able to untangle and release the energy that gets knotted up around that pain and often, you know, anger as well. And so forgiveness is really about treasuring our own quality of life. It's really about nurturing ourselves. And I think, Steve, that's partly because we need to separate the process of forgiveness from any kind of interaction with the other person. We can go through a process of forgiving and releasing without ever having to actually say anything or interact with others. And sometimes the harm has been done by an institution, and so there isn't actually an entity that we can hold, you know, face to face personally responsible.
Very good point. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, and you know, we sometimes also think, you know, that this person doesn't deserve to be forgiven, and so we just ignore it. Or we just write them off. And what we don't realize is that there is harm in that there is judgment in that. And whether we want to, perhaps we don't ever want to continue a relationship with them, but that disconnect and that severing and that sort of can lead to resentment. It can just lead to a repulse that we constantly have to come back to should that name or that memory ever come up, and there's not peace with it. And so actually, you know, you talk quite a bit about, and we both talk quite a bit about interdependence and interconnection, and that is the realm of the heart and is actually the basis of life itself. And if we have severed ties, even doesn't mean we physically have to be around someone, but if we have said, you are over there, I disconnect on every level, and we feel that we've created a dualism, you know, we're actually harming ourselves, I would say.
Well, I think what it gets back to, Steve, is that part of the process of forgiveness, or part of what forgiveness is grounded in, is a recognition of common humanity, a recognition that none of us is without some, without making some kind of mistake, without doing something at some point in our life that that was hurtful to somebody else, even if we didn't intend it. And so it's recognizing that common humanity and the fact that you know, they behaved in error, and the error may have been extreme, but there is a commonality between us, and that's what upholds the that interconnectedness that we have and recognizes that we are all ultimately part of the one life, part of that cosmic energetic whole.
And I think we'll see, you know, this idea of sort of putting ourselves in another's shoes, you know, when we actually can get to that place. You know, we've obviously by then done quite a bit of work on ourselves, but when we can look at the other and sort of in some way try, at least try to understand why they did what they did or what has brought that about, even on some
level. Which doesn't justify it.
No, not at all. And it's not about pardoning it or coming to understand it as a way of saying it's okay, but just understanding it on human terms, because it can just bring clarity. And, you know, it's that clarity, I think, that we're looking for, that is necessary so that we don't, as you say, have that knot going on inside of us. We can unknot it with just understanding and with clarity of mind and clarity of purpose in forgiveness. So Dorothy, we're already at our, first segment break. So when we get back, we're going to continue our discussion for today's show on strengthening our ability to forgive.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're going to continue our discussion on strengthening our ability to forgive. Dorothy, I'm wondering if you brought a quote this week.
Yes, I'd like to share a quote from Marianne Williamson. She writes, "Forgiveness is not always easy. At times, it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet, there is no peace without forgiveness."
And what do you take from that?
Well, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself on this, but I think it's such a critical point. Forgiveness is for ourselves.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is not ultimately for the other person. Ideally, the other person recognizes the harm that they've inflicted, and they are sorry enough about it that they institute a change so that they don't do it again. But ultimately, forgiveness is for ourselves because, and I know from personal experience that when I have been, I feel deeply hurt by somebody else and I hang on to it, it's almost like I nurture it, you know, like it's a little fire and I blow on it and it gets bigger and I feel more victimized and more certain that, you know, this was terrible, and it eats up a lot of energy. It ties up a lot of energy. And so that's why I think of it as a knot or an open wound. And we need to heal that for ourselves, so that we are whole and we can greet the world with joy instead of having this energy tied up. So that's, to me, I really resonate with her saying that it feels more painful sometimes than the original wound that we suffered, is the internal work that we have to do, because it is work and it does take time. And it does take commitment to be able to move to that place of release and letting it go that we call forgiveness.
And it's transformative, right? And you know, we've mentioned on many of these shows, to err is human, to forgive divine. And you know, the process of coming into our divine light is a transformative process. And for human beings, often that is through conflict, through contrast, we learn. It's a bit like the diamond, you know, under pressure and heat turns into this beautiful jewel. And oftentimes that is the story of our lives. And so we're all familiar with that. And this, it's a process. And hopefully we come out of it stronger. We come out of it with a stronger bond. I know last week you shared a story about was it the Crown Plaza Hotel? And I remember at the end just saying, you know, not only I think have you forgiven them, but I bet you really would often now choose to go there because you realize that their staff, you know, was an incident that was, you were given a proper apology and you forgave them completely. And I could sense that your relationship was even stronger. Your faith in them was as a company was even stronger. And that happens in our relationships too. So hopefully, you know, this idea that we need to forgive and actually some good will come of it, not only to move beyond the pain, but actually perhaps, you know, that we grow as a result. And it's interesting that the quote says, you know, it feels more painful. I find that emotions are so important. And goodness, if that process only brings us a little bit closer to our own awareness, our own emotional awareness, we're all the stronger for it. This idea of moving from pain to neutrality, then eventually to joy, you know, is a beautiful process. And if we if we know our emotions, you know, if we feel the full range of emotions and we allowed ourselves to become aware of it, to pay attention, to be mindful of our emotions, to name them, we're aware that this inner transformation is taking place. And I think it for me, I sense that me personally, it gives me faith that transformation is happening, that I'm growing. I'm aware of it. I see the markers. You know, if somebody's done something really awful to me and perhaps I feel, what did I do to deserve this? Or there's an aspect of me that feels, sort of guilty from something. I'm using that experience to sort of bring up these feelings of shame or guilt, or, you know, where I feel grief that, oh my gosh, this person doesn't, why did that happen to me? I feel so bad. And then often, you know, that can move to anger. And then perhaps we sort of do some inner processing and we just realize, all right, I was really hurt bad. And in all honesty, it wasn't such a bad thing. I'm just disappointed in that person. And then maybe they irritate you. And then you just get bored with the whole thing. And maybe you get to the point where you actually confront them or you actually bring it up and they can forgive you. And then you're happy about it. You feel content. And then perhaps you go, wow, that worked out really well. I'm really glad I brought it up. We could talk about this. You know, I'm actually optimistic that I could actually be friends with this person again, and they might not do it. Maybe we both learned something about it, and maybe it's restored my faith in humanity a little more. And now I've got sort of positive expectations for my relationships. And maybe, in that situation, I'm going to be more sort of eager to move into that situation, because even though something bad happened, it all turned out well and we're all happier. And then we're all one big happy family. We feel love and joy. There, I just took you through
the optimal
gamut of emotions. But if we become familiar with our emotional selves, we really become more adaptable and flexible. And goodness, you know, you've said it before, survival of the most adaptable. So I find emotional awareness is so important in life, and the forgiveness can really, we can really explore our emotions through apologies and forgiveness.
I agree, Steve. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the steps in the process of forgiveness. And of course, it depends on the circumstances. It depends on the person, how we decide to do this. But in my experience, if I am consciously choosing to release something that has happened to me, then the first thing I need to do is to recall the offense in detail. This is all the stuff that I'm letting go. You know, I don't want anything hidden away that in the crevices that's going to pop out later. So I recall it in detail, and I recall how I felt at the time and also how I feel right now about it. So it's all out in the open. This is what I'm dealing with. And then I think the next step is I need to think of options. What is it that will allow me to let this go? Do I need to confront the other person? Do I need to hear an apology from them? What is it? Because sometimes my choice will be to not interact with them at all or not raise it with them at all. So I need to look it over and recognize that I feel more empowered the more options I'm aware of having. It's feeling that I have no options that makes me feel disempowered. And then one element that may be very helpful to me is to do that walking in the shoes of the offender. You know, can I, as a human being, can I feel what might have been going on for them, which doesn't excuse it at all. It just adds more complexity, more texture to the whole scenario. And once I've done that, and once I've selected my option, then I offer myself the gift of forgiveness. And I need to choose my time when I'm really ready, because it doesn't work too well to go kind of halfway and then have to start over again. So I need to decide that I am really ready to be rid of this, to let go of this, to let go of the hurt that occurred. and to purge myself of this. And I think we'll talk a little bit later about some of the rituals that can help with that. But basically, it is then reaffirming that the forgiveness is for my healing. It's not an excusing of the offender, saying everything's okay. It is that I am letting this go so that I am healed from it.
Mm, that is really beautiful and really practical. And I love that, you know, when you started, you were sort of talking about, you know, recall the offense, you know, really what happened, you know, what are the details of it? And I immediately thought this was to the offender. And then I realized, ah, this is an internal process, most likely. And then later you said, what are my options? You know, do I actually need to confront the person? And I thought, oh, this, you know, exactly. You were doing all of this process, you know, internally first. And I think that's so important, is to really, again, just really just drive it home to our listeners that, as you've said many times, Dorothy, this is something we do for ourselves. And that idea of taking the time to really go through these steps, I'd love to just say them again. You know, I was writing them down because it's really so helpful to recall the offense in detail and then how you felt about it. And how do you felt about it then, and how do you feel about it now, right? And really now and now and now, because sometimes when you recall it and you go through it, perhaps, you know, it's a little bit less. It's actually relieved some of the, you know, some of the intensity, and you can actually think about it with more clarity. Your emotions aren't distorting it as much. And I think then that allows us. Yep.
Yeah. Or you may have amped it up more.
Ah, yes. And then it's a whole nother ballgame, because you think, you know, what am I doing here? You know, and is that necessary, or, you know, is it actually changing my own perception of myself? You know, we've talked a little bit about having a, you know, how it could actually lead to a victim mentality if you really ramp it up a bit too much, and how mm-hmm. some damage that can be done, and why forgiveness is so important. Yeah. And then empathizing with the offender takes it really to another level.
Yeah, but let's slide in there the options.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to think of what the options are, and recognize that if the option that we're attached to is getting an apology from the other person, we're allowing that other person to control our process.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So for me anyway, it's often important to come up with an option that does not depend on somebody else's behavior, you know,
right.
on them apologizing.
Right. Unconditional. mm-hmm. As soon as we get in that realm of, you know, of empathy in the other, so important, that's a part of it. Dorothy, listen, we're already at a break. But I appreciate going through that list again, cause I found it so practical. So when we get back, as you mentioned, let's talk about some rituals that can be used, for forgiveness. We'll be right back after these words.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform.
We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Hello, welcome back. We are going to continue our discussion on forgiveness. Dorothy and I have just been really both enjoying this month talking about forgiveness. Dorothy, I was wondering, you know, is there anybody in this world that you have yet to forgive, or you have a clean slate? Isn't that a nice?
I don't think I have quite a clean slate. I have a pretty clean slate. I had some major traumas that I think I finally released. I worked with a psychologist on EMDR, which is a physiological, neurological process of repatterning, which really helped. And I think what I can say is that where I still need to forgive, I'm very conscious of it. And I am consciously working my way through the sequence that we talked about before the break, because I know that I need to release lingering resentment and anger, because it's with someone who I cherish as a friend, and I don't want it souring the friendship.
Yeah. Boy, life has a way of just bringing those people right around again and again and again. It's life's beautiful way of just saying, come on, you got to do work here. You got to get on with this show. And I just have instant karma in that way. Boy, they come right around the block real quick until I just clean up my act. So very nice. Well, so let's talk about some rituals, Dorothy. Maybe rituals that you can use with this person yet.
Yes. Well, the ritual that I have found helpful in the past and that I'm getting ready to do is to write down the offense in detail and how I felt and how I feel. So those first couple of steps. And then I plan, once they're there and once I am ready internally to let it go, then I plan to burn that piece of paper.
Mm. What is it about fire, right? Transmutation.
Cleansing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleansing.
You know, here at Spirit of Fire, we've got two fire circles. That's how much cleansing goes on here at Spirit of Fire. And it's funny the way they work. There's one on top of the mountain that tends to be the happy, the sort of like, you know, your mountain campfire where people toast marshmallows and you know, and sing songs with a guitar. Then there's the lower fire circle. And that one's twice as big. And that seems to be the ritual fire circle. And man, there's a lot of transformation that happens in those flames. Very nice. For me, I find that the loving kindness meditation is so wonderful, and it's so wonderful even in those trespasses that we have forgotten or we don't call to mind within the loving kindness meditation. You know, we just wish happiness and peace and ease toward ourselves and then towards someone. And it'll often catch me off guard. And I even lead this meditation all the time where you say, think of somebody who has crossed you or somebody that, you know, you're not feeling so great about. And boy, you're asked that, you know, when that is asked of you out of nowhere, somebody just comes right to mind. You know, you realize there's so many times that we sort of have a bit of pushback against somebody, and then it asks you to wish them well, wish them peace, wish them love and kindness, and it can often be difficult. And so, you know, I find that meditation certainly asks us to offer ourselves well-being, ourselves love, and ourselves kindness, and from that place we can offer it to others. So, you know, listeners, there's so many versions of the loving kindness meditation. We've got a really lovely one on livingawarenessmeditation.net, which is Spirit Fire's blog for our practice. But for me, it's loving kindness. I think that's a great ritual.
That's great. I just want to put a footnote on that, though, Steve, because a number of people that I know feel that the way to counter, you know, anything negative is to, you know, or in the world, so to speak, is to send love, you know, to surround the person with loving energy. And I would just like to take our listeners back to the discussion that we had about narcissists. And because unfortunately what a narcissist does is they just kind of suck up all that energy and then they put it right back out in a very negative way into the world. So energy work is complex in itself. I mean, energy is the thoughts that we have power, and we need to be careful that we're not empowering something that we don't want to empower.
Right. Well, one thing I love, just to be very clear about the loving kindness, is the words say, may you know peace and ease. And for those of us that know narcissists, you know, you do get to a point where you realize they're just wreaking havoc left and right. And you start to kind of, as you start to come to peace with them, you realize they just don't know peace or ease or wellness, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's as much as sort of wishing that they may know that. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you 100%. These people, especially during this election, that were saying, oh, I'm just going to send love and everything will be all right. Well,
no,
it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah. I'd like to also mention journaling, because I think I found that to be a really good process. It's somewhat similar to writing down the offense, but it's not with the intent of creating a piece of paper that's going to be burned, but just exploring all of the different aspects and all of the different options that I have. That I find is a very good method for doing that, so that I empower myself by seeing all of the ramifications and choosing what it is that I want to have happen.
Yeah. Hey, Dorothy, are you a writer?
Yes, I am, Steve.
Journaling and writing down. I gotcha. No, it is beautiful. You know, journaling is amazing. You know, we get to spend some time with ourselves and then look at it right on paper. Mm-hmm. There it is in front of you. And, mm-hmm. and there it is for good. You know, naming mm-hmm. something is really an important part of a process. I also find that gratitude, having a gratitude practice, is so wonderful. You know, often if we're really hurt or someone has done us wrong, we sort of lose that appreciation for the small things in life because we've contracted, as you say, we get knotted up. And a simple gratitude practice, looking around the room and finding what you're grateful for, you know, I love the color pink. This year my theme is pink. And I have pink stuff everywhere lately. I don't know why. It's just this beautiful rose color. And if I'm not in a great mood, I just am grateful for that color sometimes. And I'm grateful that it makes me happy, brings me joy. I'm often just, we'll find something I'm grateful for. Look out the window living on the mountains and see some birds and trees. To have a gratitude practice just opens us up again to life and can open us up to the potential or possibility of bringing clarity back into our system and then therefore moving forward and creating options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would also say that consciously practicing self-forgiveness is an important part for me, because I know that oftentimes the way I act towards others is a reflection of what's going on with me internally. And so if I've been doing things that I don't really feel that good about, and I'm not able to forgive myself, that I'm going to be very harsh with other people as well. It's going to limit the options of how I'm going to deal with forgiveness to others.
Yes. And we mentioned Ho'oponopono, I believe, on the first show, and the listeners, you could look that up. I've done a whole radio show once on Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian ritual that families used to use when there was a conflict. And it basically is asking oneself for forgiveness and reminding that you love yourself and thanking yourself. But it's alchemic. It's like the alchemy happens within you, and you just sort of work your way out of this pain and reestablishes in a very sort of energetic, almost quantum way, reestablishes your connection with yourself and with others, in helping you to see us all as a part of a process and of the one life. Again, it's called Ho'oponopono, if you don't know it, Hawaiian ritual. Anything else, Dorothy, that you can come up with?
Well, I think just the whole practice of mindfulness, you know, of being aware of where you are in the moment, owning what's yours and not owning what is not yours. So you don't, think, what did I do wrong? How did I bring this on myself? When that's not really what it's all about. Just being very clear about that boundary between what someone else did to you and who you are yourself. I think that kind of mindful reflection can be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, mindfulness is really all about being in the present moment, right? And not letting the past own you. We often will just bring up the same memory or the same thoughts that actually instigate negative emotion, and that just keeps us stuck there. And a mindfulness practice keeps us in the present moment, and so we're sort of owning that moment and its fullness, as opposed to the past owning you, which is very important. We certainly teach that quite a bit around here, and nature is so wonderful, you know, at bringing us into the present moment. So I find that being in nature really helps that process of coming into yourself, coming into a place of power, of alignment, bringing clarity, doing some breath work, mantras while you're walking. A gratitude practice is so easy while you're in nature. And, you know, if there's no dried leaves around, write down some stuff and give it a nice burn while you're outside. Good stuff. So, Dorothy, we're at another break. We'll be right back after these words, and we're going to wrap up our fourth show on forgiveness. We'll be right back.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first? To give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dorothy and I have been both really enjoying this conversation on forgiveness. Dorothy, I would love to just spend a little bit of time talking about detachment as we wrap up this show of the pathways to ways to make to create a practice of forgiving and making that easier, because detachment is such an important part of forgiveness. And I would say that's because we often will become attached to a transgression or attached to an incident or something that happened to us, and even to the feelings that they generated. And we often think of there's a misconception of detachment, that detachment is really, again, related almost to this forgive and forget, that it's sort of a separation. We often say this in meditation, that so many people that think that meditation is about detachment, that meditation is about checking out. You know, we think, oh, I'm going to go meditate, and that means I'm going to forget about everything. I'm just going to sort of float away and become detached, if you will, from my surroundings and from life. It's not that at all. I find that meditation is actually about being more present and allowing more of the moment in. There's a quote by Arthur Ron Rathbun, and he says, "True detachment isn't a separation from life, but the absolute freedom within your mind to explore living." So how does that relate to forgiveness? Well, we've often said that forgiveness is about setting oneself free, and that it's not about forgetting. So I just really wanted to drive that home, that the true detachment is about the ability to create freedom within our mind and within our lives so that we continue on, so that we can continue to expand, so that we can continue to grow and to create and perhaps co-create, that we've got choices and options. We could choose then to continue a relationship with somebody that might even get better if we've offered them forgiveness. But it is really about moving forward and being free from that which has happened. And that doesn't mean pardoning it. That doesn't mean forgetting about it. It basically just says that I am in the present moment, the now, and I'm actually able to detach. I don't have attachments. I'm not clinging any longer to this bump in the road or to this experience, and that it doesn't have any control over me, that I actually have the capacity to create freedom in my life. Did that make sense put that way?
Sure. I'd add one other thing. It's not just a detachment from what happened in the past, but we can think, detachment is a lack of attachment to a particular outcome, a willingness. It's part of respect of each other, a willingness for each of us to live their soul's purpose in the way that makes sense to them. And I say it that way rather than their freedom to do whatever they want to anybody else. It's not that. But it is that not being attached to feeling a particular way or something particular happening. And I think there's a practice that it's one of the rituals that I think can help with forgiveness that I'd like to just describe. You were talking some about some of the practices at Spirit Fire. One of the practices that we encourage with our students at the School for Esoteric Studies is the process of the evening review. So in the morning, as you think about your day, you can set your intention, what it is that you need to focus on or accomplish during the day. And you, of course, have an internal sense, the moral compass of how you want to go about that. But then at the end of the day, you take time to just quietly think back in a detached manner, not a judgmental manner, but in a detached manner about how it went during the day. And if you encounter some of those little knots of energy, then you have the ability to begin to loosen them or work on them right at the time so that things don't pile up. But I don't mean that by saying that it will help the process of forgiveness to go quickly, but rather that you can kind of stay current with it.
Right, right. And, in a sense, that is about letting go of your day, in a sense, right? It's about it's about closure, which is, again, about detachment. The bottom line is happiness comes from within. Mm-hmm. And when we can find that happiness from within and by creating space in our mind and release this idea that, as we review our day and we say, well, my intention was this at the beginning of my day, but then this happened, so I had a bad day. If we can find a way to take a look at that and perhaps create space around it, if we can not have our happiness be conditional and realize that these outer conditions dictate our happiness, but if at the end of the day we do a review and we can go to bed saying, at the end of the day, this was my day, and be okay with it, then you've really understood detachment and freedom in a sense. You're free to either then take that up again tomorrow, that which you still need to do some work on, but have in a sense is that along the lines? Then you've done the review and you can be free. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important to underscore again. This has to do with that our repeated theme that forgiveness is for healing ourselves, that the longer we live with resentment, the more attached to it we get. And so it's like you can think about it as, wires attaching us to it. They get thicker and they get stronger and it gets harder to break. And we can, I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, can think of times when we have been offended. We feel someone has offended us, or they have harmed us in a very extreme way, and we kind of nurse that grievance, you know, that resentment. It's a legitimate grievance, but the more we live with it, the more we nurse it, the stronger it gets and the harder it gets to release, and the more negative effect it has on us. And that's the key, is that is to remember that we ultimately live our lives as spiritual beings here having a human experience, and we live our lives as part of this gigantic, interconnected, independent energy field, and we are designed to be joyful, to experience joy, and in order to experience joy, we have to be in a free-flowing energy environment, not one where the energy comes up and gets all dammed up and stuck, but one where the energy flows freely. So that's part of our task, is to keep working in a way to have that free energy flow.
Yes, and to support cooperation wherever possible, for whatever that means, because it's the way of the heart. And a perfect way just to sign off for this week and let you know next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness in the field of the heart. Everything you were just saying, Dorothy, speaks of the heart, you know, moving from this idea of, you know, me and my pain, into really realizing that this experience is really one about interconnectedness and truly about interdependence. And we've got the power to make decisions about that. But it is the field of the heart. When we really, truly forgive, we are moving to that space of forgiveness. So Dorothy, it's been a wonderful show. Mm-hmm. And yes, I appreciated our conversation. I look forward to next week.
Yes, yes.
All right, listeners.
That you will join us, listeners.
Yes, please do. And in the meantime, spiritfireradio.com to listen to our archives. And we'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.